Good Wednesday. Today is July the 30th, and you're listening to My Farm. We're going to take some time this Wednesday morning, visit with Susan Watkins. She is a soybean farmer from Virginia, currently serving as Secretary of the United Soybean Board and the Demand Action Team. We're going to talk a little bit about the importance and work of the United Soybean Board in growing markets and demand for our product. We'll be back with that after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants. Simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Joining me is Susan Watkins. Susan serves as Secretary of the United Soybean Board, also as Chair of the Demand Action Team. And Susan, thanks so much for your time today. It's a busy time as USB is hosting its July board meeting right there in your home state of Virginia. Tell us a little bit about what it's like farming and being a soybean grower in Virginia.
Oh, thank you for having me today, Dusty. And very excited that we are here in Virginia hosting the USB July meeting. And right now we're in the midst of a lot of storms, which is good, beneficial for us. So we picked up 4 inches of rain at my farm last night. And I live about 2 hours, a little northwest of here, the south of Richmond. So we're very productive farmland. We are located within the Chesapeake Bay watershed. So we're very conscious of that. And, you know, we're just excited that, you know, we are here and we want to showcase what Virginia has to offer.
Talk just a little bit about that farming in the Chesapeake Bay watershed, because that does ring an accord with folks in Ohio with issues with Lake Erie and water quality there. And I know a lot of the discussions in Ohio focus towards on lessons learned in the Chesapeake Bay area. So maybe just touch on that a little bit. Anything that you guys have done over the years that has changed because of new insights into that?
Well, we've always been very conscious and conservative in our practices. So we do 100% cover crops, 100% no-till. And not only are we building that organic matter, but we are protecting and capturing the rainfall as it comes and not having that runoff that could be detrimental to the Chesapeake Bay.
Well, serving as Secretary of the United Soybean Board, one of four key leadership positions, farmer leaders in the organization. And with that then also comes committee responsibilities with the Demand Action Team. Obviously, creating demand is very important to growers, especially in light of where we're at with the cost structure of soybean production. As you guys have discussions as a committee, what are some of the things that rise to the top in terms of creating new demand?
Well, that's where we decided that we, as USB this year, the former leaders decided, you know, we have done a very good job at growing our crops, and we've got a very valuable soybean on the market, but we still have to work and create that demand. So we created a new work group this year of exports. You know, about 60% of our production in the U.S. goes into exports. And so we want to keep building that demand and getting the word out that we do have a great sustainable story along with a very valuable soybean that we can offer other countries.
What are some of the ways that occurs? Obviously, as the United Soybean Board, you can't necessarily get involved in policy and legislation, but what are things that the organization can do to help foster and support some of that trade or new market opportunities?
Well, one of our partners that we support is USAC, and that is our trade partner building new markets in overseas areas. And, you know, I don't know that we'll ever have a China again. That was such a home run for us. But just steady, continuous growth is what we're looking for. And USAC is so boots on the ground in these foreign countries, and that really helps us get that demand out. And we're also trying to build domestic demand with new uses for our meal, for our oil, and such as that.
Well, USAC is a great example of a true success story and making a lot of positive things happen. As you've had discussions and looking ahead to the future, maybe what are some things that excite you, exciting new opportunities that may be on the horizon that farmers can look towards?
Well, you always hear about the farmers want to push the pile, and one opportunity we have right now is soy firefighting foam. Mm. So we can use that flour meal into this product, and it gets rid of the PFAS, the forever chemicals that's right now in the firefighter foam that's currently on the market. And this is just a win-win for us, not only for the firefighters, for the environment, but for soybean growers to have a new market for their for their beans.
Sure, a great story there, and I think you're exactly right. One that's really going to be exciting to follow in the future is hopefully there's widespread adoption and a lot of promise with that product. Again, my guest today is Susan Watkins. Susan serves as Secretary of the United Soybean Board, also Chair with Demand Action Team. Susan, thanks so much for all your work, and best wishes on the rest of the meeting there in Virginia.
Thank you so much, Dusty.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions now. You know, family farm transfers from an older generation to a younger one, family or non-family actually, usually includes questions and concerns from both sides of the succession planning. USDA's Rod Bain has more details from the University of Minnesota.
There has been perhaps more farm transitions passing the operation from one generation to the next over the last few years. University of Minnesota Extension dairy expert Jim Sulfer would perhaps agree with that.
Seems like I've been involved in more farm transitions than I have over my career in extension.
With reasons ranging from more resources available to producers to make such transitions possible through government and cooperative entities to a greater emphasis on generational transition of ag operations. Yet Sulfur notes questions from both younger and older generations regarding this process. For instance, how can a beginning farmer without a home farm get into the business?
They're going to have to partner up because they just don't have the equity to come in and lock, stock, and barrel buy somebody out.
That partner being an existing farmer that can share knowledge and experience with the younger grower. Nationwide, the average age of a farmer continues to rise. But Sulfur believes that may not necessarily be caused by a lack of successors.
I also think that people are aging better, so we maybe don't have that older generation that's antsy to get out of the industry.
Another factor involving the ifs and whens of farm transition, the bottom line.
A lot of our farms maybe just aren't really big enough to support two families. And so you've got to work through that and try to determine, does that mean one of them, either the older young generation, works off the farm?
And then there is the emotional investment made by the incumbent farmer regarding the operation.
There's a lot of concerns and a lot of emotion. And what about non-family heirs? I understand that, but not dealing with it doesn't make it any easier later. And for the younger generation, I would encourage you to be patient and understand how hard that is, that maybe your parents built up this business, worked really hard, and now they're going to hand it over to somebody else. That's kind of been their baby for maybe their entire life.
However, Sulfur advises that a transition plan for a farm operation be put in place sooner then later.
We've got to start transitioning these management skills to the younger generation. I'm talking to the older generation here. We're doing a disservice to wait as long as we can until we really do that transfer.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.